So we have another new day, another day for our practice today. And you may feel much more settled today. Yesterday was a day of finding our way here, getting used to the schedule and to the place and to the rhythm, to the long periods of meditation. That was new for some people, to be sitting and walking through the day, all day long. So that takes some adjustment. And yet, I think then you start to settle in more to that rhythm and to the silence and being held by the silence and the solitude. And I think there's something that we, in a way, we long for, we love about the solitude. We love about the silence. There's a way that we can settle a little more sometimes in ourselves. I mean, sometimes it can be challenging too to the sense of our ego self. You know, there can be, sometimes it can, the silence can activate more inner dialogue, an inner conversation, memories that can sometimes be also agitating and activating in the silence. But that's what happens too in the retreat situation, is that some things from the unconscious, more the hidden parts of ourselves, start to show up because we are clearing out a lot of the more superficial, the day-to-day. As that recedes, as that goes into the past, some of the more hidden, unconscious material starts to come forward. And that can be difficult sometimes to see that, to get to know ourselves at that level. But also there's something that can be very welcoming as well. Something in, we want this. It's something feels right about it. My very first retreat many years ago, a weekend, I just did from Friday night to Sunday afternoon. And by, I think it was Saturday night, I was having a nervous breakdown. I couldn't take it. I couldn't really be with myself. There was just so much judgment and expectation and agitation, and I just had to get out. You know, had to get out, run away. But there wasn't anywhere to run away to. Because anywhere that I went, I was still with myself. And that was a big revelation. I didn't know that there wasn't anywhere to run away to. I thought I could get out. But when I found out that there was no way to get out, that was a shock. It was shocking. So it was... my teacher at the time really asked me just to go take a walk, just go out, take a walk, stop meditating, just listen to the birds, look at the trees, and then I was able to settle down again. And then when the retreat was over, I wanted to go back. Because there's some, it's very strange, but there's something that feels right about that. There's something that feels good about going that deep, contacting, being in touch with something in myself that I hadn't known or I hadn't touched before. And so I wanted to go back. And that was my very first retreat, which was, 35 years ago. You know, a long time. And it all began from there. So there can be that sense in the solitude of wanting to run away. I won't even ask if there are people here who've had this happen already in these hours that we've been here. But it's not unlikely that this has come. It's like, must be somewhere I can go to get away. But what we're wanting to get away from is our own mind. And there's no escape. There's no escape. So that's where the meditation gives us some kind of refuge. We call it a refuge or a safe place or a sanctuary. Some kind of safe place from our own mind. The only problem is our own mind. It's the only problem. And when we resolve that, then we can resolve the other problems that arise in the world because of people's minds. The only problems are because of the confusion, because people get confused about the way things really are and who we really are. And then the forces of greed and hatred and confusion take over. And what we experience in this world, the pain and the destruction and the suffering, is because of greed and hatred and confusion, which is all in the mind. It's in the individual mind. Individual mind. So this is what the Buddha said needs to be resolved. It needs to be resolved to bring about peace and harmony and the return of loving kindness and compassion and wisdom and generosity and truthfulness, all the beautiful qualities of the heart. When the mind is resolved, when this greed and the hatred and the confusion is resolved, what comes forth is the love and the truth, compassion, wisdom, the heart. We call it the heart, the beautiful qualities of the heart. And maybe until we really taste this or have some experience of this, we do need to have some faith to trust that this is true, because we might doubt it, we might not believe it. I don't believe it, you know. But maybe there's something about that that speaks to our heart, that speaks to us. It says there's something that must be true. And many of us have tasted this. Many of us know that this is true. But yet those forces, the forces of the mind, those difficult forces of the mind, can come and take over, be more powerful than the wisdom and awareness and love. Very strong forces, the forces of greed and hatred and confusion. So when something wakes up in us, then we can start to examine, we can start to explore, we can start to investigate this mind and these forces, so that we can start to get a handle, we can start to take control in a way. It's like we need to take control. And we take control from our wisdom, from awareness, from love, because it ultimately is more powerful. There's a lovely metaphor that when you open a door to a dark closet, if there's no light in a closet, it's dark. But as soon as you crack the door, as soon as you open the door, the light comes in, the whole closet fills up with light. The light is more powerful than the dark. The dark cannot overshadow the light. So as soon as that crack, as soon as there's a crack, the light comes in. And everything fills with light. So we want to find that crack. Find the crack, right? Where is that? Where can the light come in? I think Leonard Cohen, you know Leonard Cohen? Has a wonderful song about the crack that lets the light in. Right? Same metaphor. Right? So in a way, what needs to be cracked is the ego structure. The ego self that feels very solid. I was talking about yesterday this which gives us a sense of solidity and separation of the duality of self and other. And when that crack that confusion around, that's all there is self and other, this dualistic, this two, there's just two. When we crack that, the light comes in and everything becomes unified. Everything becomes one. There's no separation. We can use all kinds of metaphors then. You could say, I am the light. I am the light, the light. Light that illuminates everything, that shines everything. You know, all those metaphors, those beautiful spiritual religious metaphors of God and the divine, the spirit. Mm-hmm. But it has, first there has to be the crack. And this is meditation is about shaking things up. We have to shake up those ideas, those beliefs, those ways that the mind gets constructed, the mind gets formed into this two, the two, me and other. Right? And then we walk around in the world like that, bumping up against, hitting up against the other. And all of us have the others. Sometimes there's many others right here in this mind, whole family of others. I keep bumping up against. One says one thing, the other says the other thing, and they're in opposition, just fighting inside, inside my own mind and my own heart. This has to be resolved. And it's resolved by the crack, bringing the light in. That happens when we start to know this mind. We really start to know this mind. And that's what this practice, this insight meditation is about, knowing the mind. Knowing the mind, knowing the body, mind-body. Mind-body is who we take ourselves to be. In Sanskrit, nama-rupa, nama-rupa, nama-mind, rupa-body, or form. Mind-body. This is who we believe we are. And then there's all these mind-bodies walking around. But we forget about consciousness, awareness. That's funny thing. Or spirit, we can, you know, awareness, that which is much bigger, much more vast than the mind and the body. But in the mind and body, not separate. So this is what we as we meditate, as we start to let go of our ordinary mental patterns, the thinking, as we let go of that, something else starts to come forth. I call it awareness. Awareness. Awareness starts to illuminate, starts to shine. The light of awareness starts to shine, we can see and we can know because of the consciousness, because of the awareness. If we were not conscious, nothing would be happening. If we were not conscious, we would be dead. We are conscious beings. So consciousness is the light. Consciousness is the light that brings the world, the whole world, into being. And this has power, has wisdom, so many beautiful factors of investigation and curiosity and knowledge that we can bring forth. So we're drawing on these qualities of awareness to investigate the mind. What can we understand? What can we understand about the nature of our mind so that we can bring an end to the greed, the hatred, and the confusion in our own mind? The Buddha, this is all the Buddha was really interested in. His teachings are about suffering and bringing that to an end. Suffering and the end of suffering. And the Buddha, this was, you know, in a very beautiful and simple way, the Buddha said, what gives rise to this suffering is the greed, the hatred, and the confusion. And this can be resolved. It can come to an end. So there's no more greed in the mind. There's no more hatred in the mind. There's no more confusion in the mind. It's a beautiful vision. It's a beautiful aspiration for us, because this is true for each one of us, that we can know our own nature. We can know our nature that is free, that is free of these forces. Our nature that is untouched, which we call Buddha nature, or true nature. So this is when we come to a meditation retreat and we spend many hours being silent and being in solitude and looking at our own mind. This is what we are investigating. This is what we become interested in. And primarily, what we can look at very directly, when we're on retreat, we have a lot of time. We're not distracted by many other things in our life. All that's put aside. Just put everything else aside. So the primary intention, the primary aim, is to look at our own mind. And we can look at the way that we become reactive. This is really the key piece that we can examine through the day, is how we, and it's very energetic. It's very energetic. We just tighten. Reaction is contraction, is tightening. We just tighten. And so we can look at that as we go through the day. How am I contracting? How am I reacting? How am I tightening? Because both the greed is a grabbing on, it's tightening, holding on, and the aversion or the hatred is a pushing away. I have to contract to push away. So both the attachment and the aversion, the hatred, is that I have to push down. So we're just, we can, our practice can become very energetic in that way, where we're just, that's why it's so important to feel the body, to be in your body and to feel the body, to know what's happening in the body, because we want to know the way that we're tightening. That's the signal. Because when we know that and we're able to bring some awareness where we're not becoming frightened of the contraction, sometimes we become, when we see that, then we get even more contracted. Oh no, I'm getting contracted. Oh no, I'm getting greedy. Or oh no, I'm getting reactive. And then we're more reactive. Or we're more fearful. And then we're getting more tight and more tight and more tight. Then we become the ice block. Then we're just the we're walking around like we know that. We can feel that. We don't feel our feet on the ground. We're kind of so we can. One way we can think about our practice is just this: when we recognize this tightening, then we relax. And that's why that out-breath, the out-breath is so useful. Not just to build the concentration. We use breath to also build concentration, so the mind becomes very focused, and then we can see more clearly. The mind can become very laser-like and very, very bright and very direct. So the concentration is very good, and the breath can really help build that concentration. But it's more than that, because we want to also begin to recognize through our awareness when the tightening comes so that we can let go. Sometimes it's just good to just keep going like this. just keep going like that all day. All day. Just keep shaking out. Because the tension, daily life, our life is very demanding. It's very challenging. A lot of demands on us, whether it's outward, external, or whether it's internal. We put a lot of demands on ourselves, expectations on ourselves. How we should be, who I should be, the way I should be. And that's very, very challenging. It very causes a lot of tightening. Or other people, what we think, how we need to be with other people, or how what we need to do for other people, or be with other people. All that pressure. It's really a kind of pressure. We feel that internalized pressure. So through the methods, the methodology and the techniques and the skillful means, we can let go. The crack also lets the pressure out. Right. Just let it out. Feel like we should all stand up and shake. As I talk about it, I feel all the pressure starting to. We should all just shake it out, yeah. Yeah, because it does. It builds up, yeah. So if it feels good, yeah, shake it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all day long, I find myself just moving now. You know, I'm just moving. I'm always moving. Because the tendency is to, with the fear, and just the fear, all this builds up into fear, just can start to feel more and more rigidity and solidity. And I'm walking around like this. So I'm just moving, you know, shoulders, the arms, the hands, body, breathing, breath. You know, I think the breath is such a wonderful resource. Just to really keep breathing and noticing again, because the first thing we'll do is hold our breath. When we get frightened, when we get pressure, internalized, external pressure, we just start to hold the breath. I have a niece. I remember a long time ago, she was talking about the roller coasters. You know, she was talking about going up the rope, and I don't know why we're talking about that, but she was talking about that if she's like 10 years old or 12 years old, she was talking about, you know, well, you can go up the roller coaster, but the way that you can handle it is when you get to the top, you just hold your breath. So you don't have to feel anything. So as you come down, because it's so scary, you just tighten it. Hold the breath. And I thought, that's right. That's what we do. Right? We go up, and then poof, hold on. It's too scary. It's too frightening. Right? So life is like that. Right? So in the meditation, we want to see if we can, you know, open the chest, open the shoulders, the belly. Just keep moving. This is yoga is so good for that. Yoga opens the body. This is, you know, ancient teachings. It's not any different now than it was 3,000 years ago, you know, when the great masters walked the earth, Buddha, Jesus, you know, others. Actually, it's better now than it was then. This is better. We read our history. So these teachings come out of very ancient lineage of teachings. We're the same. It's the same mind, and the same mind in some way. The greed, the hatred, and the confusion. Not seeing things clearly. Not seeing ourselves clearly, or others, or the way things are, the nature in the world. So we have these teachings that offer us a way, a path, a map, gives us a map. It's called a map to freedom. But freedom means, in this Buddhist path, freedom means freedom from greed, hatred, and confusion. That's all freedom means. And when we free ourselves from those forces, the heart opens. We talk about the heart opening. The heart opens in love, compassion, wisdom, patience, generosity, morality, truthfulness. It's just all the beautiful qualities of our being come forth. Because it's the, yesterday I was talking about the cloud cover. The cloud, 100% cloud cover, which then opened. The sun came. The beautiful, warm, brilliant light of the sun. So when that happens for us, when the clouds open, the clouds in our own mind open, the sunlight pours out. We become light. You become light. And the experience is one of light. The direct experience is one of light. Both the bright light, the illuminated light, the light that shines, that light, the radiant light, but also light in, what would be the way of saying that? The light body. You feel light, floating, light. How to say that? You know what I mean. Very light and transparent, even. Sometimes you feel like you can walk through walls. There's just nothing. It's just light. These teachings are pointing to something real for us. And perhaps when we hear the teaching, something, it's like, yeah, it's right. I know it's right. I know it's true. I think that if we didn't know that there was some truth, we wouldn't be here right now. Right? Wouldn't spend 3-4 days like this. People who don't meditate or who aren't on this kind of path think it's crazy. I think it's crazy. Why would you come here not talk to anybody for 4 days and be by yourself and not do anything productive? Right? But there's something that brings us here. There's something that speaks to us. We know. It's like we already know. We already know it's true. We already know that I am light, you are light, that you are a light body. You already know. And you already know that this whole world is your body. You already know. When you walk in the woods, you walk on the land, walk by the water, the birds, you already know that that is part of you. Because it's so deep in our being. But we forget. This is why we have religion, why we have spiritual paths, why we have teachings, because we forget. If we didn't forget, we wouldn't have to do all this difficult work. We wouldn't have to be here. Right? This one poet, Naomi Shihab Nye, she's Israeli-Palestinian, beautiful, beautiful poet. She has one line in her poem that is like a teaching for me, where she says, "I want to remember something too important to forget. I want to remember something too important to forget." It's like that's what drives the practice. That's what drives. I want to remember something too important to forget. So for me, that's my motivation. That's my purpose for continuing along this path. I don't want to go back to sleep. I don't want to forget. Because forgetting is painful. forgetting is dukkha. You know this word, dukkha. Dukkha is the Pali word. It's again from the ancient text that means suffering. It means suffering, but it also means dissatisfaction. Not satisfactory. It's not satisfying. Dukkha. It's a good word. It's a good word. It's just dukkha. So dukkha is our experience when we're not free. Free from these forces of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then it's just dukkha. This is the Buddha. The Buddha's teaching is about dukkha and the end of dukkha. It's the way it's in the text. The dukkha and the end of dukkha. Or it's translated as suffering. But that's not a great translation, really. It's more not satisfying. I like that one. Does that ring not satisfying? Yeah. Just something's just not right. That feeling. It can be very subtle. Just, it's not right. So it's just a little uncomfortable. Sometimes very uncomfortable. Sometimes really, really painful and suffering. But sometimes just a little bit. Just a little bit. It's like you have a stone in your shoe or something. Got to get that stone out. Or sometimes, I don't know if you have like a refrigerator. Sometimes refrigerators, the motor on a refrigerator, I don't know if you have that here, but we have these big refrigerators. You don't have a big refrigerator. This is in America. It's like, have lots of things. So you have big refrigerators and those have motors. They have to have loud motors to keep the refrigerators going, right? Because they're so big and they're noisy. So you always have this motor sound in the kitchen. And sometimes you just want it off. Sometimes I go places, I want to unplug. I want to pull the plug out of the refrigerator. That the noise is just so, the buzz, just constant. It's like, stop. It's like, that's dukkha. It's like, stop. Just pull the plug. That's how our experience can feel. Like, pull the plug. Stop. That's the dukkha. So the Buddha says we can bring an end to that. We can permanently pull the plug. Never have to have the motor going. Never have to have the plug back in again. We want to know that. So we'll continue our practice. We want to, maybe today, really starting to have more feel for this reaction. Just the way the body gets tight. Right? That because there is some attachment or aversion, something you're holding on or pushing away, holding on or pushing away, some way that there's not liking what's happening and wanting it to be different. And there's some energy to want to control the experience, and it comes about through, we feel it in the muscles, it actually happens right in the muscles, in the body, in the heart. We can feel it in the heart, in the chest, in the belly, in the back, in the shoulders. We can feel it. So we want to, as you go through the day today, just kind of getting a sense of where that tension, where the tightness, where those reactions come. And then when you notice it, make a note. It's like, oh, reaction. Oh, tightening. Oh, contraction. Oh, fear. Or whatever it is. Like, make the note. maybe you can even have some understanding. Oh, I'm grasping onto that. Like, you're the last one in the food line, and there's no food left in the pot. All the food is gone in the pot. And you go, oh, what's going to happen? Right? I have to have food. Right? If I don't have food, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to die. I'm going to, you know, it's like the mind comes in and starts making up this whole story about what's going to happen. And you can just feel the whole body is just so contracted. So when we want to see that, we want to notice that, say, oh, there it is. It's like getting excited that you see it. It's like you want to see it. It's good. It's really good. It's not bad. It's not bad that you're having a reaction. It's good that you see it. You can celebrate. Celebrate. Celebrate that you see that you're having the reaction. That's not usually our response, right? Our usual response is, I'm having a reaction. Should not be having this reaction. But we can turn that around and now celebrate that there is awareness. I'm aware. Right? I'm awake. I can see. I know what's happening. Celebrate. And then the breath, the shoulders, the opening, softening, let go. That's what letting go means. Let go means letting go of the physical tightening, softening, relaxing, and then see what happens to your mind. When you change the body, the body's reaction, the mind follows. The mind follows. The mind follows the energy. Our mind follows the energy. Where's the energy? So if the energy is going into the greed and you're following the greed, there'll be more greed. If there's aversion and anger and hatred, and you follow that, there'll be more anger and aversion and tightening. The mind follows where the energy is. It's like a river, the water follows the current to the ocean. It just follows where the energy is. So what's happening? So if through awareness and through wisdom, we shift the energy towards letting go, towards kindness, towards wisdom, the mind follows. We change the pathway. This is all of what neuroscience is about now. They're discovering the pathways and how the thoughts follow the old pathways. That's habit. Right? So neuroscience is about making new pathways. Call it new grooves, new neural pathways, right? You have to hop into another pathway. And hopefully the pathway will be one that will actually bring about more peace and more happiness. Not the same thing. The same old thing, same old thing, same old thing. Right? So we're making new pathways, we're going in a different direction. We're changing the current, moving in a different way. The current is going one way, we are going in another way. We can feel the tension sometimes of that, but we do it anyhow because we know that that's the way to more contentment and satisfaction. So let's sit for a little, maybe just stretch. Yeah, we've been sitting for a little while. If you just want to stretch out, and then we'll sit for about 10 or 15 minutes, have some meditation.